58. Veek stared at him. Zila twisted her head around. "What the heck's that supposed to mean?" asked Nate. Roger straightened up behind Zila.
"A lot of time on set, you have to put up flags or scrims for the lights, and they go way out past the base of your stand," he explained.
He held his hand up by his chin and mimed grabbing something stout with the other hand.
"Sometimes we even use these big mambo stands because the arm goes out so far to get the flag in the right place. When you do, you have to throw a ton of sandbags on the other side to balance it out."
"You're talking about a counterweight," said Veek.
"Right."
Nate mulled the idea in his head. "So you're thinking whatever the machine is in their apartment, the space warp room is some kind of opposing force, that it's supposed to be there for the machine to work?" Roger nodded.
"Yeah," he said. "We know this thing's supposed to have something to do with bending dimensions or something, right? So if it's bending really far that way over there,"
his finger traced back across the lounge to point in the direction of 14,
"it's got to bend really far the other way to balance out."
"I can't believe I'm saying it," said Veek, "but that almost makes sense."
"Thanks," said Roger. "Fuck you too."
"It does make sense," said Nate. "This isn't a brute force thing. They wanted this machine to run as long as possible. The generators show that. So it makes sense it'd be a balanced machine, something that works as efficiently as possible."
Debbie shuddered. She pushed herself off the couch and searched around until she found a spot that let her not look at anyone.
"I think I need to go to bed," she whispered. "I want to see if they're done in our apartment."
Clive stood up and set his hands on her shoulders. He gave the rest of them a nod. The two of them walked off down the hall.
"She's not taking this well," said Nate.
"She's doing better than most people would in this situation," said Tim. "We all are." "Had a while to ease into it, bro," said Roger. "Slow steps into madness."
Zila smiled at him.
"How poetic of you."
"Was in a movie I worked on," he said. "Actor was an idiot, heard that line 29 times, figured we'd all go nuts on 30.
Down the hall, Nate saw Clive and Debbie talking with Oscar. He heard the echo of their voices, but not the words. Oscar's head bobbed up and down. He gestured at their apartment door and talked at length about something. He kept his back to 14 the whole time.
"You think they're telling him?" Veek murmured.
"No," Nate said. "Debbie's shaken up, and I think living across the hall from another solar system is a big hole in Clive's view of reality, but they're still with us."
"You sure?"
He shrugged. "I was in deep space an hour ago. I'm not too sure of anything right now."
"You and me both," said Zila.
She snapped her fingers.
"You know what? That's why the wall in 16 says danger. It's not a warning for the room. It's telling you not to mess with that wall."
Roger nodded.
"Makes sense. Don't want a repair crew breaking through the wall to work on pipes and getting sucked in."
Veek's eyes opened wide.
"That's what all the writing on the walls is," she said.
They looked at her.
"You think it's all warnings?" asked Tim.
She shook her head.
"Think about it. This building's a big, complicated machine Koturovich and his pals knew was going to be running for years after they were gone. We know the combination for the vault was in Zila's apartment. It let us get down to the generators. It looks like all the math is Koturovich's equations, maybe some of the big dimensional physics. The wiring diagrams in Tim's place are for the different circuits. There's even a note from the creator in your apartment," she said to Nate. "But set off from everything else so we know it's different."
She paused and smiled.
"It's an instruction manual."
Nate knew he should feel more excited, but his brain felt sluggish and his body was heavy with exhaustion. He looked at the others and saw they felt the same way.
Oscar stepped into the lounge.
"The men are done," he announced. "All broken or cracked windows have been boarded up. They will all be replaced in the next few days, starting with those apartments which lost both windows."
He waited for them to acknowledge the words before moving on.
"If any of you wish to stay in a hotel, lock management will reimburse you for the cost."
I'm good, said Tim. But thanks anyway.
Same, said Zila.
Veek and Nate nodded as well. Oscar returned the nods. He looked at Nate and his eyes flicked up to the band-aid across his forehead.
None of you are injured? He gestured back down the hall. I know Mr. Holt was caught.
Nate shook his head. It's not as bad as it looks, he said. A piece just hit me and bounced off. I've got a hard head. He wrapped his knuckles above his ear. The manager snorted, then shifted his feet.
I cannot reimburse you for any damages to personal property, he said. I am sorry.
He bowed his head and shuffled back down the hallway.
So, said Roger, what do we do now?
They all turned to Nate.
I don't know, he said. Maybe we should think about calling our little investigation done.
Veek frowned.
What do you mean?
He shrugged, and one of the tendons in his shoulder popped.
We know why the building is the way it is. We know how most of this weirdness works. I'm not sure what else we can hope to find.
And what? Asked Tim.
It's getting dangerous, Nate said. Not just possible eviction dangerous. If this machine is supposed to save the world, it's still saving the world,
corrected Veek.
Right, he said. That's my point. We shouldn't be screwing around with it. I mean, we're like kids with a nuclear bomb, with a pile of nuclear bombs. You think we should try to forget all this?
Asked Zila. Nate shook his head.
No, of course not. But we don't want to risk doing something awful to the world.
He gestured up at the television where the news was now about flooding in the valley. There were shots of a Japanese garden where water was ankle deep.
We changed the weather tonight. We grounded planes.
I think, Tim said, we crashed one. No serious injuries, though.
Aside from Mrs. Knight, murmured Veek.
Nate nodded.
And that's all just minor side effect stuff. What if we did something and we shut the machine off? Not just tweaked its settings for a few minutes, but maybe broke it. Supergiant-normous alpha predators, Zila said. That's what's supposed to happen, right? Lions and tigers and bears, dogs and cats living together.
A whale with bat wings and tentacles.
Yeah, said Nate. Something like that.
A yawn burst out of Roger's mouth.
Sorry, he said. Wiped.
No worries, said Nate. I think we all are.
Roger pulled his phone off his hip and glanced at it.
Shit, he said. Call time's at 7:30 tomorrow. I need to get to sleep.
Veek squeezed a handful of hair.
I need to finish a project, too.
The real world came crashing down on them.
I guess we'll talk later, said Nate.
I mean, if anyone wants to talk about stuff any time, we know where you live, said Zila. Veek glanced down the hall and then up at the ceiling.
What are we going to do about the lock from the roof? That door's one shot now, right?
I'll head over to Home Depot in the morning and buy one to replace it, said Tim. It looks like a pretty standard padlock. Oscar won't have a key for it, said Roger. A little corrosion on the lock and he won't question why his key doesn't work, assuming he ever checks it. He'll just assume it rusted inside, cut it off, and buy a replacement. Done.
What if he tries to open this one? Zila asked.
Tim glanced down the hall.
I feel pretty safe saying that door never gets opened except by stupid tenants.
A few of them chuckled, but the laughter died a swift death. Zila and Roger got up and the rest of them followed. Roger shook Nate's hand while Zila gave Tim a big hug. Roger moved on to give Veek a clumsy embrace, and Zila wrapped her arms around Nate and squeezed him.
Thank you,
she whispered. He hugged her back, and she squeezed him again. Then she released him and grabbed Veek. Roger and Tim had a manly handshake and exchanged punches to the shoulder. Then Roger and Zila headed down the back stairwell.
I should go check on my friendly detective, said Tim. I'm sure there's some way all tonight's activity could get spun against me.
He gripped Nate's shoulder, smiled at Veek, and walked down the hallway.
What about you?
Asked Veek.
Don't you have work tomorrow? Yeah,
Nate said.
Yeah, I do. I just...
What? He looked at her. Does this feel a lot like we all just said goodbye? She shrugged.
Sort of, I guess.
Isn't it?
Sounds like the mystery gang is breaking up.
Nate smiled. You never see what they're doing the rest of the time, do you? No idea if they live in the van or if they've got a home somewhere or what. Do they go to the movies or hang out with other friends or anything like that? Her mouth twitched.
Guess we'll never know.
Suppose not.
Veek took a few steps toward the hallway in her apartment.
You know,
she said,
we could go to the movies sometime.
What do you mean, get everyone organized for a big night out or something?
Yeah,
she said.
Or it could just be, you know, us. You and me.
You'd want to be seen in public with Shaggy? The twitch became a smile.
Shaggy wasn't that bad. When they got older, all the girls realized he was a lot more fun than Fred.
Where would you want to go?
The Arclight's nice, she said. We could see something on the big dome screen.
Expensive, though.
But they have the best popcorn.
If we're talking about getting popcorn, it's super expensive.
I'll tell you what,
she said.
It'll be my treat. I should have some extra cash after this assignment.
Okay, then. He looked over at her. Thanks for watching out for me.
Everyone deserves a night out now and then, even poor slobs like us.
I meant back there. He tipped his head down the hall.
Ah, well, no problem,
said Veek. She looked at the floor.
You know, Zila's probably really grateful you saved her life.
I think it's you guys who saved our lives. Maybe with an assist from the doorknob, so thanks. She smiled.
On behalf of the doorknob, you're welcome.